WGHE Radio presents Hot Damn Politics.
Please welcome the Brain Trust. The Brain Trust. Please welcome the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust. Welcome the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust. Please welcome the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody be high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth. And now when you see the light, you stand up for your right. Yeah, get up.
Please welcome the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust. Please welcome, the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust, the Brain Trust.
All right, my cord is starting to play out on me. I think that's where Don be like, I hear that feedback. That's my shit. Starting the cord, starting to play out. New year, new things, right? What's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Nefertiti, surviving the game. We in the building for another Hot Damn Politics on this New Year's Day. Gregorian calendar New Year's Day. You know, I appreciate everybody that's in the building tonight, tuned in, listening in on New Year's Day. People still celebrating from last night to this night. But make sure that you pay that rent, you know what I'm saying, on that first, so you didn't just party all last night and then you're stuck. So hopefully everybody paid their rent. Everything good to go. That's what's up, man. I want to say what's up to everybody that's hanging out right now in the Don DeColeon after party. What's good with your sister Zena is in the building. What's good with you, Zena? My man, Self-Guided, my favorite anti-feminist, is in the building. What's good with you, SG, the Marine? Mush Mouse is in the building. What's going on with you, Mush? Happy New Year to you. And, of course, the one and only, the baddest bitch in El Kulum. You know who she is. Don DeColeon, Miss WGAG herself. Love her. Definitely love that woman. If you did not hear today's show, make sure you go ahead and download today's show. You can get it on WGAG homepage on Blog Talk Radio. That's where you can find it. Every show going back to 2008. Yes, 2008. You can get every show that has been put in the archives on there. And if not, if you have not, if you ain't did it yet, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to Don DeColeon TV over there on YouTube. And you got to hit that, you know, YouTube has kind of switched up their notification thing, so you have to hit the little thing twice. That's all you got to do, and then it shows, you know, it lets you know when she goes live, or when everything goes live on WJG Radio, you will be notified. Hey, hey, what's good, man? SG was chopping it up a little bit in the AP before the show while the clips was playing and everything else, talking about the necessities of men. Are they necessary and all that good shit? Matter of fact, I got something on that for you today, said by pretty much Black America's Nubians and Blacks, whatever you go by, a lot of their favorite person in the world, Barack Obama, has something to say. And I'll bring that up a little bit later on into the show. It's in respects to two men and women and the separation between the two. What's the difference of it all? So, you know, a lot of people love them, some people hate them. But when truth is spoken, it can come from anybody. It can come from a derelict. The truth, you know, truth is truth, as we say around these parts. And that's the fact. I don't fuck with Obama. I don't too much care for him. But when the truth is spoken, you just got to receive that, you know, the truth is a goddamn truth. And so, you know, I got to give him props for that. And he said something. Matter of fact, the 2 weeks, like a week before Christmas, that had everybody like, oh, man. They had niggas and men like, But, you know, I'll get into that a little bit later on. But it is the, you know, on the calendar year 2020. So regardless if you enter the Gregorian calendar or not, it's still psychologically can be your restart. You know what I'm saying? Period. I do it every month. Fuck what you heard. Every month to me is a restart. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I can get it going. Let's get boom, boom, boom.
That's how I see. Yeah, okay. Oh. Let me know if my sound is right. Can you hear?
All right, that was good. Okay. Every month is like a restart for me, but most importantly, the calendar year. It is an opportunity to reset everything that you want to do. So take it as such. You know what I'm saying? I'm not into New Year's resolution. It's just do what you intend on doing. Do what you planned on doing. Period. Put it in motion. Don't wait until the next day. Don't wait from a week for today or any of that shit. You know, if you've fallen off, get back on. You understand me? If you fell off the horse, get your ass back up on it and let's get it going. You know, I'm back. You know, I got my juice right here. I made that beet zinger that Don gave me the recipe for by old way of Journey Juice. So I make my own version of that. Back on my juice is heavy, so I just said that was going to be. And so what I said between that and I'm going to do meal preparation because I want to have a little bit more discipline in between, you know, because basically a lot of us intermittent fasting without even really knowing that we're doing intermittent fasting, but a lot of us don't even eat until later on in the night or in the early, late afternoon. Like me, myself, I wake up, I go work out early in the morning, come back, get ready for the Don Nicolio show, participate in the show. Then by the time it's 1 o'clock my time, and I don't eat anything literally till like after 3 o'clock. So nothing doesn't hit my stomach till after 3, right? So I give myself the 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock window, so to eat food or anything in between that. So I said this year I'm going to make sure that I really have I'm going to do this fucking meal prep and have everything I need to eat right there, so I just don't randomly like hella snack. But that's not a good thing. I don't like doing that. And so, you know, I want to get that shit together on that part. But so like I said, do what you need to do to get, you know, to be where you want to be at the end of the day. And one thing I told SG and them at the after party, what I'm going to do this year, I actually learned this technique by a real estate investor that I know who's made millions of dollars in real estate, and now he coaches. He does a lot of real estate coaches and courses and stuff, but his coaching is more of the mindset more than the physical action of doing what you need to do deals and shit, and I like that. Shout out to Brian Harris. He's from Tennessee. The dude is like 100% legit. Like, but he – and the thing that I like the way he coaches – is, look, everybody know, Neff is, I ain't into religion. I wasn't reared in religion or really even fucked with it. Maybe a dibble dabble, read the Bible here and there. And, you know, I've been to church like a handful of times in my entire 41 years on this planet. I think I've been to church, and the funerals don't count. Sometimes we actually just go to church to so-called hear the word. I think maybe three times in my lifetime thus far. So, but the point being, he teaches about mindset from the scripture, and you know, and it always, and every time I hear him or anything he posts, reminds me what Don said, is that people who were originally supposed to get a hold of the Bible were for initiates, because that power is inside of those words. It's a real unlocking in a lot of those scripts and a lot of those, you know, scriptures. So that's how he teaches mindset on real estate, and it's really your life. But one thing, that exercise that he does, and I've been telling myself I'm going to do it for like maybe the last 3 years, and I never do it, but I'm definitely going to do it tonight. And he does this, he has this exercise where you either write or do an audio recording of yourself speaking in past tense as if you are stepping into 2021. Right, so it's an audio of you speaking about what all you did in 2020, all that you accomplished in 2020. So you're projecting yourself how your year went, and then he tells you to do it on the audio, because then you replay it, then you play it for yourself at night. It's a form of subconscious programming. Or as Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, is auto-suggestion, meaning that you're repeating it over and over and over. So it's your own kind of affirmation, but instead of it just, I am powerful, it's an entire year of everything that you envision, that you saw yourself doing it, you know, knocking this out, stepping into this. So it's almost like you're perfect, like you are calling out your perfect year. You know what I'm saying? And so, and he was like, and you listen to that fucking every night. You know what I'm saying? You hear your words. You know, so, and you sink it into your own subconscious. So I said, this year I'm going to really do it. I said, I'm going to do it. I didn't do it last night. I meant to do it last night, but, you know, after the new year, I fucking lay down and just went to sleep. So I said, I'm gonna do it after the show, and I'm gonna do an audio recording. And I said, I'll play it, or I'll play it for like the listeners after the year to see if did I actually manifest this vision. So it's a way of doing like your own kind of vision board, but you're doing it audio from audio. You understand what I'm saying? So that's might something y'all might want to participate in. I don't know if y'all into that, but it really got me thinking about it when Don asked on the show, did you manifest what you wanted to, you know, in this decade? And it really made me realize how little actual, like, goal setting that I did. I did some, but not a lot when I really thought about it, you know. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to do that shit. So that's that. But, again, so, like I said, so jump on it, man. You know, it's the first of the month, 1-1-2020, man, 2020. Great vision, right? So we got to step into this motherfucker with clarity. That's what they say, 2020 vision, right? 20 plus 20 is 4. What is 4? 4 is definitely a sacred number. 1-1-1-4. It's just all that shit. So we'll see, you know, this list of those of us who fuck with the esoteric and the mysticism and the spiritual aspect and understand that it's a year of clarity. So understand what it is to set the intention of what you want to do, what you seek out to get done. Do it with clarity. Don't have any doubt and be unwavering in it, even though shit's going to be scary or you might be a little nerve-wracking, whatever the case. And trust me, I go through this shit daily. I still go through it myself. You know what I'm saying? I do. I get nervous. I get, you know, all that shit. I have to not constantly talk to myself. I do a lot of that. I do a whole bunch of talking to myself and visualization. If you ever want to know what the fuck I do, that's what I do. And the visualization part I learned by way through my sporting career, because like my coach in high school would always tell us before pregame, we used to have like a five-minute sitting session where we would see ourselves scoring. He would like, see yourself making a bucket, see yourself scoring. And so I carried that over into that, into now. I've always carried that with me, but the talking to myself is something I always did since I was a little girl. So I think a lot of us talk to ourselves, but you have to give yourself that productive talk. No bigger hype person than you. Even if you know what I'm saying, even if you doubt yourself, you still got to talk yourself up into doing it. You got to gas yourself up. You do. You have to gas yourself up to give you the energy to go do it. Go do it. That whole situation. So that's what that is. But, man, let's get into these politics because there's a lot going on. We officially in 2020. So it is the year of we about to get the Senate trial popping probably next week. You know, it's the year of the election. So it's so much. And as of today, do you know the new laws that have been enforced in your state where you live? Because every January 1st, there's a whole new set of laws that come into play. My question to you is, do you know them? Anybody? Self-guided, do you know what the new Kentucky laws that are taking into effect as of today? Do you know? Zena, do you know the Texas laws that have been or that are effective as of today? Don, do you know the Georgian laws that go into effect as of today? And same for myself. There's a lot of laws that California put into play that are effective today. And well, if you don't know, I'm gonna give you a little rundown for some of y'all. I'm trying to think. Majority of our listeners, I have to do to California because motherfucker, I'm from California. Even though we have a ton of California listeners, but I know we have a lot of listeners down south and up north. So I will do your respective state, all right, of what's going on. But because it's important, though, on real shit, though. It is. It's really important that you know what the fuck is going on so you don't get caught up or caught off guard about shit. Or just you need to know, you know. All right, so I'm starting Cali. What's going on? The most liberalist state of them all. Let's see what they did, all right? See what Gavin Newsom and the crew did, all right? The first one is guns. I'm going to go to guns. It said employees, co-workers, and teachers will be able to ask for gun violence restraining orders against persons on the work site. I didn't know such thing as on-job restraining orders. You see? Did y'all know that? I'm getting a restraining order against you, Rob. I'm getting a restraining order against you. Boy, if you got to go get a restraining order on a coworker, you need to leave. You need to not be working there. If that means that work environment is so fucking toxic, so terrible, that you actually think that bodily harm might come to you. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that means, so if you put on a restraining order in the state of California, the police have the ability to go and see if you have guns and take your guns. I don't know if y'all had that in y'all state, but I know in California, if someone gets an order of protection against you and you are a gun owner, they're taking your guns, which I think, I be so conflicted sometimes. I think that's good. Because too many women, I'm speaking of us, too many of us get murdered once we put in restraining orders. Right before the New Year's, I saw this the story of this woman, her ex-husband, shot her in front of their children. You know? She had restraining orders. She had several restraining orders put on that man. When they didn't take his gun, you can also go get one from anywhere, I guess, or somebody. You could just cop one off the street if you're really, really trying to get one. But, man, you need to get away. That's one thing, too, man. When you got to put restraining orders on people, you need to leave the area, the vicinity of whatever threats have been made to you. You know? Hell yeah, SG, you said, man, that's crazy. Hostile work environment. Absolutely, I would not be showing up to that bitch. I'd be putting in my 30-day. Matter of fact, I give you a 2-week notice and pay me, motherfucker, because you got an environment that you want, your company ain't controlling, that I got to go get a restraining order against, motherfucker. It said if the judge agrees 1 year gun seizures from those who are thought to pose a danger to themselves and others, extending annually up to 5 years. So if you got a restraining order and they think you're crazy in the state of California, they can ban or seize your gun for up to 5 years. Only Californians ages 21 or over will be able to buy semi-automatic rifle. Starting in 2021, all Californians will be limited to buying one of the rifles, only one per month. Okay. Well, that means my baby daddy is going to get his one gun a month because he into that shit. I know he wants to get like an AR-15 and shit like that. So I remember back in the day, When the state had to make you register big shit, you know, back then, you know, we still got them, though, like AK, he has an AK-47, what else, what's another one, Uzi, like he's into gun collections and shit like that, so now they're saying, what you had to do is register with the state if you had a high capacity clip. You know? So if you got shit that spot out 50-100 round clip, you had to register that with the state of California. Right? So that's that. Said a person banned from having a gun in another state can no longer legally possess ones in California. So that's the California's gun law. Let's go to the healthcare. Says state health officials will create a new and standardized form doctors will have to fill out for parents who want the medical exemption from vaccinations from the children. Now, this shit here and right here with California is so draconian. It bothers me. It really does. The only reason why my children are exempt is because they go to school online, which is considered independent study, and they're not in a classroom setting. You know, they're not even letting you, they were trying to crack down on people who had medical exemptions. They banned the faith-based exemption. What kind of shit is that? You know, what happened to that? It's like my religion says, you know, I'm not with this. We don't want to put no foreign substance in my child's body. You no longer had possessed that right in the state of California. No more religious exemptions. What happened to the separation of church and state? Like, you know, it's crazy. It said doctors now, so the doctor who wrote this, the last name is Pan, y'all, by the way. That's not a coincidence. It's fucking Devil Pan. It's one of the devil's names, Pan. But, so he wanted to crack down on doctor's exemptions, meaning that if your child had a peanut allergy flu or shit, if they're allergic to mercury, because that's one of the things that are in the shots, or if they had cerebral palsy or something like that, that the doctors can give you a medical, say, no, you know, you don't need no shots. It's dangerous. Your children are more at higher risk to get sick and have a fatal reaction to it. So once they passed the you know, no more exemptions, they noticed that well-to-do Californians, people who have money, were going to doctors who were basically writing medical exemptions. So instead of just banning all medical exemptions, which you can't do, or send it off to a third party, which they was trying to do with the California State Health Department, which they didn't get by, they came up with this, is that they created a standardized form from doctors that you have to fill out the medical exemption for children. So the doctors will be required to use that form, and parents must submit existing exemptions to the state in 2021. Doctors will have 5 or more exemptions written after 2020, will have their actions reviewed by the state. Ain't that a bitch? So they're saying to the doctors, you can't write more than 5 exemptions per year. What kind of shit is that? You see, they're trying to prevent doctor shopping. Okay, so now they're threatening to review, you know, your licensing and everything like that. Say, why do you got so many these parents coming to you? Well, the parents come with me because they know I ain't with your fucking draconian ass laws. You know, the day that they say homeschool children and shit have to be vaccinated, man. You have to privatize your children. Say, California, here's the next one. California will be required to have health insurance, an individual mandate, similar to the one under the federal Affordable Care Act that became inoperative in 29 because Trump threw that out, the mandate, that you have to have insurance. Now, I ain't with that. You know what's going to be my penalty is when I file taxes, okay? It's a penalty for failing to enroll in a health care plan will not kick in until taxes are filed in April of 2021. So that's how they're going to penalize you for not participating in getting health care, government grand health care in the state of California. And I don't have health care, and I don't need it. My children don't need it. If something happened, you know, that's what you got doctors for, and that's what you got hospitals for. But I shouldn't have to pay something every if there's no need for me to, if I'm not using it. It'd be different if they created some shit that says you can get your money back at the end of the year. Like, you know what I'm saying? If they said, you know, if you never used the policy, right, you ain't never used your insurance, I should be able to get my money back. Don't y'all think so? Don't you think you should be able to get your money back if you never use the shit? Yeah, I do. Because basically it's called in case some shit happened. And in case some shit happened, I'm thankful that I can pay for it. And the fact is that insurance don't cover much of anything if you look at what the state offers. Period. They don't offer much of anything. Do they pay a copay of $10 if you want to go to the doctor? $15 maybe a copay? Your medication still is got to pay out of pocket, basically, unless you get some generic shit from who knows where. All right. The next one is women seeking birth control pills through apps such as once offered by Planned Parenthood would no longer have to participate in video conferencing with health professionals for a prescription. So Cali's saying, California lawmakers again are saying, hey, you want some pills? We'll just give them no questions asked. No questions asked. See, that's the part that kills me, right? They want you to, that you mandate that you vaccinate your children, but if you got an underage child and want to go get some birth control, nobody has to talk to them. They don't have to alert your parents, and you don't have to have any kind of consultation about why you're doing it. See, that's just the kind of shit that, you know, state lawmakers promote. They promote promiscuity, but want to deny your right to have foreign fucking bacteria injected into your child's body that could be harmful. You see? All right, next one. Food handlers will be required to take training on major food-based allergens. Those who seek a state-issued food handler card will have until the end of 2020 to do so. The law was prompted by a case in the Sacramento area, girls who had peanut allergy that led to her death at a summer camp in 2013. All right. I don't think I want to do some shit that's more. Okay, I'm going to get to the jobs and housing and criminal justice. I'm going to get to that real quick. Then I'm going to go to Georgia real quick. Here we go. On the job, business planning to use independent contractors will be subject to new restrictions on the situations in which they can do so, and more of those workers will now be considered employees. Now, this one is super controversial. This one was called AB5. Now, I've been telling y'all all, like every day on the MoneyGram, right, that freelancing is the shit. Like, new freelancing, remote working, it is the thing. It is the new economy, all right? It ain't no doubt about it, you know. But Californian lawmakers want to now say, no, 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 no. All you freelancers, no, 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 no. You are actually employees. And we're going to make Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Uber Eats, any of these freelancing photography, writers, you are now employees. And so therefore they have to give you employees benefits, and they have to pay into the system. And that's what this shit is all about with California. It's all about getting into the pockets of those businesses. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell me you're trying to protect people. Don't tell me that you're trying to protect them from being abused by the corporation, because they're freelancers, they're contractors. They can choose to deal with them if they want to or if they don't want to. More importantly, they can negotiate their pay, and they can work when they want to. So now, as an employee, now you've lost your ability to work when you want to, because to be a full-time employee, you know, you got to get like 40 hours plus a week. You know what I'm saying? And most people don't want that. They love the freedom of being able to work when they want to. Most people do have a day job and then go drive Uber at night. You know what I'm saying? And see, and the thing is, it's not like Uber is not giving drivers incentives. They give incentives to drivers to basically work particular areas and particular time slots that they feel that the company needs, you know, to hit their numbers. So they pay them accordingly, or you know what I'm saying? So this shit ain't about protecting workers. You hurting them. So anybody who was in the state of California that wants to work remotely as a freelancer, once they say, once the company finds out that you work for the state, that you're from California, they're not going to hire you. Who lost jobs. They lost gigs because of this fucking law by California. This ain't got nothing to do with protecting no employees. I don't buy that bullshit. I know this is about the state of California wanting to dip into the pockets of ultra successful company like Lyft and Uber, right? Because their home base is right here in the state of California, and to get them to pay into Social Security. That's what they want. What up, Mr. Lowry? Your mic is wide open, man. Happy New Year. Come on in.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you too, Neff. It's great to hear from you. We'll be back up on the clock, 2020.
Yeah.
It's another day, another grind. I'm looking forward to the new year. A great 2019.
Right.
Looking for 2020 to be even better.
That's right.
You're
straight
rattling
throat
off a lot of stuff that's going on in California. I was sitting here listening.
California,
like,
wow, man.
They're gone completely rogue out in California, man. The Soviet of California is what we're talking about.
The Soviet Republic of California.
The Soviet Republic of California.
It's wild, man. It really is. So they look at this law here with the independent contractors. How is it that a plumber can go do his work and be an independent contractor, but I drive for Uber, and now I'm an employee even though I don't work, you know what I'm saying? I get to pick my hours. Maybe I only want to work 18 hours this week or 20 hours this week. Now they're saying, oh, but you work, you know, but you only drive for Uber, so therefore you're an employee. That's what they're trying to say. Being that your gig is with that one company, you are officially an employee. No, I'm not. I'm a contractor. I choose my time when I want to work with that company. This is what employees are going to, I mean, what the people going to have to do. They're going to have to, they don't have to get incorporated. I say get incorporated, get you an LLC or whatever, drive your car, and say that your car is a business, and that you're an independent contractor and then still do your work with Uber. I don't know. I'm trying to find a way for them to skirt this fucking stupid law. That's what I'm thinking. That's one way they could do it. I don't know. What you think?
Stop voting these idiots in who are making all of these goddamn laws out the side of their ass. That's a shakedown. They cutting into Uber. They cutting into
yeah.
They want a piece of the action. You know,
yes, they
as you
do.
Mentioned, there's a whole line of taxes, not just Social Security. If they are an employee, they got to pay unemployment tax, Social Security tax. They have to pay a portion of the Medicare, Medicaid
medical
tax.
Yes.
Medical tax, compensation insurance, all of those are upfront costs that the employee don't see that the employer has to pay. Then you're going to get a piece of the employee. You're going to drive up. It really is going to, it's going to drive Uber out of business, because then if these people become employees, they're now going to fall up under that minimum wage law. You know,
right,
and
which
I think
just
California, it's about $15. So now you're going to have that law. Then you have these giveaways. I mean, people don't even have to work nowadays. You got the family medical leave, the personal leave day, all of this stuff. Uber will now be subject to. Not only that, it opens up the door for those people who are private contractors. And Uber and Lyft is probably the largest ones out there. There's other companies.
Yes,
they're the big
they
boys. Now you're opening up the door for the unions to come in to now go and get a portion of those drivers organized. And once, you know,
like they
they're organized,
the cabbies, right?
Like they did with the cabbies, then, you know, the shakedown is on. So
and they're just going to leave. Uber's just going up and leave. They're going to be like, I'm not fucking with y'all. I'm leaving the state. That's what's going to end up happening. And unfortunately, California, again, is always a test ground, because what they say, they're saying they want to see how it shakes out, because who's looking to copy California? You guessed it, New York, New Jersey.
Yeah. And it comes to D.C. straight out of California, because we're not a state. So
right. We
can have things superimposed on us, and we don't have a choice.
We don't
have a vote at all. So, yeah, they can say they're going to leave California, but like you said, you just simply duplicate it across these blue states, and then it becomes a little bit more difficult for Uber to do business.
Yep, exactly. So And like Mr. Lowry mentioned, the other one was the minimum wage dollar goes up by a dollar. Large employers must pay at least $13 an hour, while businesses with over 25 or fewer workers must pay $12. The minimum wage peak will hit $15 an hour. They have to reach that by 2023. So we'll see how that plays out.
And that will hurt. I don't like using the word minority, but I don't want to say, because you have Asians, and I'm talking legalized people now. I never talk illegal, but
right.
You have Asians and Latinos and quote-unquote black Americans out there. It's going to hurt them the most, because, like, once all of this is, if it goes through, if it goes under this standard government thing with the minimum wage, with the leave giveaways and all of this stuff, then we lose value on the market, because all things being equal, you know, I don't have to deal with you guys now. See, because the value, whenever you're dealing with labor, the value is the cheaper your labor, the more valuable you are to a company. So
yep.
If I'm able to work with Uber on a pay-as-you-go status, that's a value to me. That's a value to Uber. But once that cost becomes standardized and driven up, then you're looking at what's the value of having this person work with me at this point. Now other issues come into play when you're thinking about who you're going to hire. For an example, you may have an Uber driver who's doing quite well, but he lives in no way in, no way out alley on this side of town. Just raising hell
right.
with all black people. Now, I'm going to standardize this stuff, but with that same employee, he can potentially become a liability. Not because of who he is, but in the environment that he's in. He's going to have baby mama drama. You know, there's going to be leave issues. Is going to be, and that's okay. That comes with the territory, but as an employer, I have nothing to do with that. So I'm going to hire what is in the best interest of my company. So
right.
that bringing this whole thing under the public umbrella is a disadvantage, really, to blacks, really, because we're taking away our value.
You said something there, because they, basically anybody and everybody can drive for Uber and Lyft. It don't even
mm-hmm.
matter. So now they're going to be, that's so now you're saying they're going to be a lot more selective of who they hire as drivers, right? Those who are less risky,
right?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Because now
yep.
I have, right, that's a good way of putting it, much better than I put it, because now there's liability issues. Because, see, if you're going to have to treat these people like employees, now I'm liable for anything that happens out to wherever you're driving.
Yep.
If you're in an accident, I'm liable. If there's a scuff, I'm liable. If you're hurt, I'm liable. So they looking to cut into Uber and these bigger companies real good. It happened with the nurses, and you have a lot of pissed off nurses out there. Because it didn't work out the way the nurses thought. They thought they were going to get into a union, and this was going to drive up benefits. It was going to drive up wages. But what actually happened was it ended up hurting their industry. It got more harder for them to get into that home care industry than it ordinarily would have been. Because of the extra scrutiny, yeah.
Right. Interestingly enough, and there's a worldwide nurse shortage. They're calling 2020 the year of the nurse, because they, the World Health Organization, they like, we need nurses. We need them. They're vital to the healthcare system. Actually, I got a whole thing on my Facebook page. I might play it. It's like a 3-minute clip, but it talks about the importance of nurses and the skill set that they got to possess in today's technological realm with medicine. They're almost as valuable as the doctors. They have to be really highly skilled today. Interesting that you bring that in. But yeah, so you got that. And here's the other one with California before I move on to the housing section. It says employers no longer require current or new workers to agree to arbitration as a condition of having a job. So that must have been in the paperwork, that whatever arbitration comes up with, you got to agree to it. But isn't that how you – isn't that why you go to arbitration, is to agree with the arbitrator? You know this better than any of us, Mr. Lowry.
Usually arbitration is written into your labor contracts as a mechanism to resolve disputes that may arise on a job, a violation of your contract. So your grievance procedure leads to ultimately an arbitrator. So when you're talking arbitration, think of it as a court, a privatized court proceeding where the arbitrator is the deciding official. So
right.
You're pitching your case in front of that arbitrator, and he would decide on the merits. I'm not sure what they mean, they're agreeing to arbitrator as a condition of your job, because, see, that's in most labor contracts. Most labor contracts have a clause for arbitration in it. So this must be something that's outside of that. It must be where a single employee is coming up, not under a labor contract, but maybe under the personnel manual of a company. And in that manual, it has mandatory arbitration. What they want is to be able to take that issue outside of arbitration, meaning I don't have to go to an arbitrator to hear my case.
Okay, so let me. I have another article that's actually associated with it, why they actually did it. Because, like you said, we want to know what that actually means, to say that the employers no longer are required. It says employees can no longer require current or new workers to agree to arbitration as a condition of having a job. Like you said, Mr. Lowry said, that that's usually written into contracts, you know, the workers' contracts. So let's look. It said when companies in California tell candidates that they have to give up their right to sue the company for most disputes, that they have to give up their rights for most disputes, a bill headed to Gavin Newsom's desk would let the candidates decline without fear of losing their job. So the bill is the latest effort by state governments to limit private companies from imposing forced arbitration agreements, whose surge in popularity has contributed to the difficulty of workers suing their bosses for sexual harassment. Am I understanding that? Did y'all catch that? It said the bill is the latest to an effort by state governments to limit private corporations from imposing forced arbitration agreements. I'm not catching it. I'm a little slow on this one. What are you saying? What are you saying there, Mr.
Well,
Larry? Help me out.
I mean, that's wide open, because, see, an arbitration agreement can have a lot of things into it. Most of all, what it's going to have is the scope of what you can arbitrate. Like in the contracts that I've written and negotiated, my arbitration agreement will limit it to a violation of that contract and remedies proceeding therefrom. So I can only arbitrate by the language of that a violation of one of the articles of the contract. Now, on the private side, that arbitration may limit, it may say, we don't hear sexual harassment, or we do hear sexual harassment. We may hear civil. So that arbitration agreement may contain a bucket of things that it would be to employees' benefit to do it outside of an arbitrator, meaning through court, meaning they can now go for civil penalties. So what this does is open up a workplace dispute to the civil process as opposed to a private process, which is arbitration.
Okay. Right. Is this saying here, it says the supporters of this bill argue that it would not ban arbitration agreements but make them optional, okay, saying that employees can sign them, but they may not be punished for declining to sign. So this is like saying that, I guess so, there's language in individuals' contracts that say you must adhere to arbitration. If it goes, like, you have to go to arbitration. So they're saying that now people can have the option to do it or not. Got it.
Yeah, you can now take it out into the courts. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying, so they want to make it basically easier for people to come forward if they got cases against their company. That's, so is that it? Like, is they saying that it makes it easier for people to sue in the Me Too, you know, hashtag Me Too era, so to speak? I still don't get
it, because arbitration can be a costly thing. Arbitrations aren't cheap. And the cost of arbitration is borne by the party. So every case I took to arbitration, I had to pony up somewhere near $30,000 to $40,000 in order to do a successful arbitration. Because you have to pay for the arbitrator, you have to pay for the venue, you have to pay for the court reporters. So you have to pay for everything. The arbitrator pays for nothing. It's not a free process. Whereas in the courts, you know, you're just looking at legal fees and court costs.
Okay. They said labor groups argue that arbitration puts employees at a disadvantage because the employees don't have an attorney and are subject to the ruling of the arbitrator, who is often selected and paid for by the company. Is this true, Mr. Lowry? I'm asking you, is this true?
That depends on the terms of all that would be written in the terms of agreement. In all cases I took the arbitration, there was a split cost, meaning both parties had to pay half the cost of everything. Most arbitrations have a split cost provision. I can suspect there's some where there's no cost to the arbitrator. I'm not going to say that that's not out there. I can only speak for the contracts that I've saw in both parties would split the cost. But a lot of times arbitration is to an employee's benefit too, because the arbitration is not bound by the rules of civil procedure. Once you throw a case into court, then everybody is bound by those federal rules of procedure, which more times than not can work against an employee. The advantage to arbitration for me is I can take an issue and I have significant leeway on what I can do, on what I can say, and how I can present it. The rules of evidence and stuff like that is not bound by federal guidelines. Now, once you throw it into the courts, it may appear that it's to the employer benefit, but the employee can be greatly disadvantaged.
Because
they don't have that leeway. They're going to be held to the letter of the law.
Okay. Understood. All right. So that was employment right there, the new laws that take effect. Now I'm going to move over to housing, because, again, that's just one of my fields, and we all need housing. Everybody deals with housing, whether you are a renter, an owner, a landlord, or whatever. We all deal with housing. So this is for the state of California. So, and I'm going to get into some of the other state stuff and get see if there's more controversial shit. Of course, they said they kept the existing law in place, which means that homeowners have 90-day notices for renters. So the existing law that requires 90 days notice for renters who are evicted from a foreclosed property will stay on the books. Okay, so this goes to people, you know, when your landlord loses the house, you get 90 days. And I've dealt with this personally, you know, a person who didn't want to leave that goddamn property after the house was foreclosed on, and we're selling it and we're flipping it. Because usually when somebody buys a foreclosed home or, you know, that's in foreclosure proceedings, they want to get to work right away. But you can't. But I had a renter in a property who who was living in a house rent-free for like 2 years. 2 years he was living in a house, wasn't paying a dime. So once the house was bought by my client, he stayed an additional three, but he took that additional 90 days. So that shit can be difficult. And, I mean, they don't have to have a bill in their name. They don't have, you know what I'm saying? Because usually to show that you are an actual renter, you have to have some kind of agreement, right? Got to have a rental agreement. He didn't have no rental agreement. He had no bills in his name. Nothing. And he was allowed to stay there. Should have been thrown out on his ass. I just keep it 100. And he should have been. For real.
So what is this thing that, so you can't do nothing for 90 days?
You can't do nothing for 90 days.
So,
okay. Even after the house has been foreclosed on. So that means even after the bank takes it or the state holds it, they still can sit in there. Because most people, a lot of investors buy foreclosed, buy foreclosed properties, right? They buy it on the cheap.
Cut it out.
Mm-hmm. Damn, they still get sit in that house for 3 months.
Is this a California law now?
Yes, it was California.
Is this the same state that made it legal for people to break into people's houses and squat? Now you get, if you sell your property to me, or if it goes through foreclosure, because a lot of selling takes place right at that point too.
Yep.
And I take possession of that property. So you mean to tell me that me being a new owner that has nothing to do with those people squatting can do nothing with them for 90 days?
Nothing for 90 days.
Now let me ask you a question. Now, after that 90 days, do they still have a right to, if California is a liberal, so I know that procedure to get them out is long. Do they still have right to that procedure, which would then protect them for additional days?
They do. They do. Even when the 90 days is up, they can still go. They still can go protest. They can still go to the courts and protest that, they don't have anywhere to go. But they don't have nowhere to go. So what usually has to happen is that new investor has to pay them to leave and be like, I'll set you up. That's what I had to do. I had to negotiate. We'll give you $2,500 and help you look for a place to get you out.
To get you out.
Mm-hmm. So it's like they can bribe.
So California is going to start putting these homeless people in vacant properties?
They doing it. It's a case right now. What's called Moms for Housing. These women. I understand, women's plight. I don't like to see women homeless, but they jumped into a house that was owned by a company from out of state, or actually from Southern California. This was in Northern. It was in West Oakland. They took over the house. The house had been sitting vacant for two years. So these women who lived in the neighborhood clearly saw that this house had been vacant for a long time. They said, fuck that. I just got put out. I'm going to go live in this house. And so they did. They got, I don't know how they got electrical running in that bitch, but they do. They do. And and they got the people behind them, even though the company has sent the eviction notice. I mean, they got advocacy groups that saying no. They're saying that housing is a human right, and it makes no sense that the city has vacant properties that are corporate-owned sitting vacant, when they should be housing people who are on the street. Literally, this is being argued. And it's, to me, it's wild. I believe in private property. And if I own that shit, I can do what the fuck I want to do with it. And if I want nobody in there, I ain't going to have nobody in there. I'm paying taxes on the property. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying my property taxes. I can do whatever the fuck I want to. And if I wanted to sit there, board it up, I can do that. And if somebody going to buy me out, give me a great offer for it.
Wow.
Otherwise, you got to get the fuck out. And, but they squatting in there. So I'm saying to the city of Oakland, you take care of your constituents then. If it's such a human rights situation and you're backing them in their fight, you house them. Your people. That company is a private company. They have rights, too. as mandated by the 14th Amendment. So they got to get the fuck out. But, you know, California had these, they got some hellfire rules, man. They really do. The next one here is the new state law that strict new limits on rent increases will mean that landlords can only raise rates no more than 5% plus inflation each year. Okay? So renters in some cities with existing stricter controls will keep them, and some evictions will be harder to implement. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't get people out. You know, so to me, you bring in the, yeah, you make landlords say, well, then, goddamn, they're not going to, if I can't get more for my property for the going rate of new builds in a neighborhood, and I still can only charge, you know, because since my renter has been there for some years, and I can't, say they paying $1,600, but the going rate for rent in the neighborhood is $2,600. I can't raise that much. I can't raise my rent to what the housing is going for in the neighborhood anymore because I fall under this new restriction. That I can only do 5%. You know, 5% each year. No, I mean, like I said, California is full of shit. California is one of the largest states in the country. You got plenty of land. People don't understand how much shit is not being built out here. But that's also because of restrict the shit. So you fucking up the supply and demand, which is stupid laws. So therefore, rents go up because inventory is little. But then you want to handicap landlords on what they can charge. Well, then, you know, that some of them would just say, fuck it, I'm sorry. And a lot of these foreigners, I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of these motherfuckers, you know, Indians and East Asians and shit, they'll let that property go to shit. They won't do no repairs, no nothing. Yeah. Then they become slumlords. This is how it happens. Because it ain't no incentive to them to fix their shit up. They're not being rewarded as landowners. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So that's how they go. Here's another one. Landlords can no longer turn away a person whose rent will be paid by Section 8. So they're saying there's Section 8 discrimination going on.
Damn.
In California. So now you can't, you know. But how do you police that? That's
how
my
do you
question.
Determine?
How do you enforce that? How do you determine that I discriminated against you because you got Section 8? Because I won't let you stay at my apartment. See, this is – they're going to force people – there's going to be more lawsuits, and then I got to – then I got to have a renter in my spot that I don't even want in my spot.
That's more,
you know,
that's a form of redistribution is what you're doing. So basically what you're doing is spreading the wealth, which includes everything that wealth entitles you to. So I'm spreading it around now. So now you're going to tell me that as a landlord, I'm open to a suit for non-acceptance of a voucher, of a Section 8 voucher?
Yes. Yes. Well, again, how do you enforce that? How do you, you know, how is that
So that's
tracked?
A tricky thing. So if you come to me with a business, you got some income, put it like that, no matter where. You got verifiable, steady income, and you can afford it. And this person got a Section 8 voucher.
Mm-hmm.
I pick you. So Papa Duke over here could now say you discriminated against me because I got
right,
Section 8.
Right, because I got Section 8. So what they're saying, what they're trying to do to me, from what I see, means that they, when their people put out their property for rent, they can no longer say no Section 8 vouchers accepted. They can't put that in print. To me, that's what that's – I mean, because that's the only thing that I can see that that you can actually enforce something like that is when ads are put in.
But wouldn't that be a constitutional issue? Well, you guys in California, so the Constitution is counted there.
You would think.
But the
right
to private property would have it that I have a right not to accept government funding for this house. Because once I accept government funding, I am now subject to government regulation.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yeah, you are. I mean, that means that you certain things have to be mandated. You got to have your house like this. You have to have this type of wiring or whatever. Whatever they deem it is that you have to, you know, get your house to fall under those guidelines. But that's the only thing that I'm seeing is that with this law, they're basically saying no one can put an ad saying that their house is for rent and say no Section 8s. You can no longer say that. So now anybody can go out to a very, very ritzy or wealthy community and you're renting. You can put in your application, and I got a fucking voucher, but guess what? They're saying, hey, your rent's going to be paid, but I got Section 8. But even though this house is, you know, and this, I'm giving you California rent numbers for a really good neighborhood, $3,800. I got a voucher, bitch. You gotta let me in.
That's gonna drive down. That's gonna drive down the. That's gonna drive down the available housing stock in those well-to-do areas. What's going to happen is it's going to drive that business to a off the book market. Really, that market is going to come off the book. That's what's going to happen. They're going to drive down the stock. Them people ain't going to. They invest a lot of money. People invest a lot of money in real estate. You know, depends
absolutely
on where you're at. If you invested millions just to get the benefit of being in a pristine neighborhood, you're not going to let that go to crap just because the government said this is what you have to do.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
And why do most people say no Section 8 voucher? Because I hate to say it, it ain't everybody, but it's a mentality usually that's followed with people who own Section 8. Like some people on Section 8 taking care of their business, man. But I'm sorry, there's a large portion who off the chain. They raggedy. They got terrible fucking habits. They let any and everybody come to their house and act a damn fool. This is the shit. And a lot of homeowners and landlords don't want that. They don't want that in their building. They don't want that in their house. They don't want that in their duplex.
They don't want it in their neighborhood. They don't want that around their children.
They want that shit.
Right.
I don't want that shit. But, hey, it's Cali for you. What up? Happy New Year. Bringing it to your boy. Bringing it to your boy in the chat room. What's good? He said, why UBI so I can play the lottery? All right. California off the chain, man. I just want to say that. They're really off the motherfucking chain. They get on my nerves. They really do. All right. But that's you know, it's more because California's a big state and they got a lot of fucking laws. They got a lot of laws that they passed that went into effect on today. But I want to get into another state. I want to get into some Georgian law real quick. I'm not going to go as in-depth, but just things that are, you know. So you in D.C., so you saying you guys don't have, like, these kind of situations? Tell me, I know you got laws, right?
We have these situations, but we don't fall under state rights. See, California can do whatever they want because it's a state. D.C. is not a state, so we have no congressional representative. We don't have a vote in Congress. Everything that we do is technically under the jurisdiction of Congress, really the House and the Senate. You know, we have a city council, which is, we don't have state legislators. We don't have any of that. City council, our city council will be our highest legislative body. Our mayor will be equivalent to your governor. But everything we do technically goes through Congress.
All right. That's interesting. All right. So let me just give a couple off the main hitters for the state of Georgia. They got a law called SB 65. It is the law that is known as the Title AD Valamore Tax Used Car and Tax Rate. So it essentially lowers the title and Valorum tax rate to 7% to 6.6% up until 2023. You see what red states do? See that? See the difference? See, they just came in and said the tax too high for used cars. Let's just bring it down a notch. You see? That's, what does that do? That incentivizes people to buy used cars in the state of Georgia. It's just common sense shit. You know?
Of course.
I just don't get it. Which would mean it will cost less to buy a new car. Some used car prices may go up with this new law, but they don't anticipate that it will. Used cars will now be calculated on the retail sales price rather than on the book value, and they said that it was previously done. However, for a used car purchase from a person other than a new or used car dealer, it will also be taxed at a lower book value. See, certain states is about, they really about business. They are pro-business. States like California, even though they make tons of money, they got the fifth or eighth world largest economy, they make it difficult to do business.
Right.
Right. It don't make no sense. Boy, I tell you, here we go. Number HB 63 in the state of Georgia said this law will give doctors a way around what is called step therapy. That's when an insurance company requires you to try certain preferred medications first, and you have those drugs fail before you wait, and you have those drugs fail before you can receive the drug prescribed by the doctor. Let me see. Did I read that right? It said, this law will give doctors a way around what is called step therapy. That's when an insurance company requires you to try certain preferred medications first and have those drugs fail before you can receive the drug prescription by the doctor. All right. If you have a health plan that is renewed on January 1st, HB 63 gives doctors the path to apply for exceptions to avoid step therapy and quickly start you on medication they believe you need for your condition. Okay, I get it. I didn't know that. See, once again...
That's a right to try.
That's your right to try.
That's the right to try.
Words right out of my mouth. That's your right to try. That is your right to say, fuck with this insurance company saying that they think I need. Fuck them. My doctor said this is really what I need. This is what's best for me. So the doctors have a way to go around the insurers. See, some shit just makes sense. I mean, are you working for people? Are you really working for the people? It's about options, giving people options. Thus far, this is what these two things do for the state of Georgia. The next one, HB 166. This law will require genetic counselors to be licensed with the state. According to the Georgia Association of Genetic Counselors, Georgia is the 28th state to have this requirement. I don't know what genetic counselors is. Genetic counselors will create treatment plans for individuals or families affected by or at risk for genetic disorders. This will also be new requirements for those counselors to receive continuing education. Okay. So they're saying, they just want you to be more informed. Is that what they're saying? You just need more information? You got to be more educated on some things.
Yeah, this is not the medicine lady at the end of the corner out of the business. Let's say you're unlicensed herbal practitioner, so to speak. You know, you might have a corner store that says, okay, we can do this, this, and this, and none of those people are licensed. right here, this is, to me, what I'm looking at is requiring,
mm-hmm.
when it's relating to certain issues, that these people be licensed in order to give that advisement.
Got it. All right, let's check this one out. This looks a little controversial here. HB 478 said, this bill creates stricter state requirements to list someone on the state's child abuse registry. Abusers will now need to be at least 18 to be listed instead of 13. The process for having a review hearing before being added to the list or having a name expunged will be updated on January 13th. What y'all think about that one? They're saying that you can't be on the list as a youngster who beats the shit out of a child. So if you're 14, 15, 16 years old, and you get convicted of some, you know, child abuse, you don't have to go on their registry. If I'm reading that right, if I read that right, if I comprehend it properly.
What law is that?
HB 478 in the state of Georgia. Let me look it up. I have a link here. Here, let me put it in the I'm putting in the chat room. But that's what that reads like, that they're saying you got to be now at least 18 to get on that list. So the bill is entitled an act that aimed for Article 8, Title 49, official state code anointed relating to Central Child Abuse Registry, so as to provide improvements to the operation of the Child Abuse Registry, to provide definitions, to provide for notice of abuse allegations, to provide for reporting abuse cases to DFAC's office, to provide for a hearing on expungement of the name registry, to provide for related matters, to repeal conflicting laws, and for other purposes. So it sounds like they want to make it easier to be able to fight these cases, or, you know, not have you on there. I could be wrong, but that's kind of how the shit reads to me.
Yeah.
I got the whole thing. You saw the whole 9 pages. Interesting. Trying to protect a lot of child abusers. I ain't gonna say it, but they're men. So to make sure they don't fuck up their whole life, we're gonna
Oh, okay. I guess we're still on here. I didn't hear anything. I didn't know if the thing went down. Yeah, this. I'm looking at the child abuser law now. It's looking like they're actually asking for more stringent reporting requirements regarding abuse. So they're saying anytime abuse is reported, that has to be recorded and documented on the record.
Okay.
That's what it looks like to me. So it looks like they're showing up that this whole child abuse thing. I don't see the specific part about being a name on a registry. All I'm seeing is the process that has to be used and the rights afforded too. And the rights are going both ways. So if I'm charged, I have a right to be notified. I don't know what would precipitate this bill. I don't know what was happening down in Georgia.
Right.
That would require this bill. But it looks like it's showing up the reporting requirements. I didn't even know there's a such thing as a child abuse registry.
Me neither. I guess that's in relation to DFACs, right? I guess that's in relation.
Yeah.
That they report that to the what is it called? Department of Family and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess so. All right. But that's that. I'm looking at the Texas situation, like the new laws that went January 1st, and it looked like the Texas again, man. Like I said, I hate to say it, but the red states, they're very pro the people. They're talking about tax exemptions for homeowners, protections against surprise medical bills. These are the kind of laws that they're passing. protecting tax reduction. You know, it says homeowners get some other new help from the new year. Anyone who successfully protests their home value should not see the value increase from the previous level the next year unless appraisers can present clear and convincing evidence. That's to keep the property taxes down. That's what they're doing. So they're saying, you know, they're saying, the assessor can't come in and say, last year my house was worth $300,000, this year's worth $450,000, and I got to pay more money on my property taxes. They're saying, no, you have to have more people saying yes to the increase in the property value than just the county assessor. They're saying you need an appraiser and all kind of shit. This is an attempt to make sure that property taxes stay down. I like that.
Because that's
what the representative said. Right. They said they're going to have a strong evidence to show property values have gone up. See? And case in point, California, completely opposite. Completely opposite. In the hood... The hood, do you understand houses are selling for $470,000 to $500,000 in the hood? Now, who can afford that in the hood? It ain't a lot of Nubian people. Sorry. But the prices have jumped. 10 years ago, the same houses were worth maybe $250,000.
Mm-hmm. About $250,000. They're pushing people out of that community. That's what they're doing. But, you know, the way these liberals been going, you know, they're doing all these special laws. So in these red states, or let's say more conservative leaning states, these states are now being forced to exercise the full extent of state rights. So in order to protect themselves, they have to now begin to raise these laws on the state level in order to protect its constituents. Because it's gone all over the place now. You know, you have California, you have New York. D.C. is in there, too, where these localities is going rogue and claiming state rights. So in all of these laws that you're talking about, we can see a clear ideological goddamn
difference,
like the Hatfields and McCoys going on.
Straight up.
And all
straight
of it
is, the fuck
up. It's a straight line.
That's how blatant
look,
it is.
Either we going to have liberty or we all going to just take a prison number and get up when these people tell us to get up and go to breakfast or what have you. But you can hear a clear line in everything that you're saying. The issue, the fundamental issue is whether or not the government has the right to legislate and dictate how we should live our lives. So it's one of liberty or state control. That's what it's boiling down to.
Exactly.
You know,
there you go.
In Texas, that's good that they're protecting, you know, their constituents because in these liberal areas, they hitting us on taxes and something. And California is probably the same way. All they got to do is come in and, like you said, lift your assessment on your house, you know. And then, you know, that appraised value, it can be a detachment there. That appraised value can be whatever you pay that appraiser to put it there. So if you got that value that's astronomically high, that's usually based on what it's selling.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying appraisal, you know, it has that much room to grow. These state regulators are going to mandate that these people assess closer to the appraisal, which is always more taxes.
That's exactly what they're saying. They say you have to give us proof that properties have jumped up this high. You have to show us why. You have to tell us why. It has to be a why behind it. Not just, you know what I'm saying? There has to be reasoning behind it. Texas is one of them states. Texas is one of them states where housing is aplenty. Say again?
Yeah. What's the number on that in Texas? I need to take a look at that. That's a good law right there, because what you, the issue you're raising, Neff, is like when you're looking at places like Oakland, San Francisco, Harlem, up in New York, got hit real hard. Brooklyn too. Those are brand new places from when we grew up. D.C. We call it gentrification. So we're looking on a rapid rising of property values, but nobody is questioning how in the hell this shit is rising
how
so
is it
fast.
Happening? Right, right. So
nobody is justifying this shack right here going for $400,000.
Exactly.
Wasn't nobody paying attention to my neighborhood. I couldn't even get 80
right.
for it, you know.
Man, okay.
So,
I remember.
That's a
man,
good point you raised. That's a good point.
Come
that's
on now,
a 900
square foot house. A 900 square foot house, two bedrooms, one bath, in the hood in Oakland is being sold for $470,000.
Right.
I sold one for $475,000. One of my
benefit the individual. Don't get me wrong. Now the individual that have title to that property, whatever they doing with it. It will benefit them. But for every one person you benefit, it's 100 people in that neighborhood that's asked out, because they're not going to be able to afford to be able to stay in that neighborhood with that increase.
Right.
They're not even going to get a Section 8 voucher that's going to cover that.
Nope.
They're not. The Section 8 is going to affect the people out in the surrounding, where it's a bit cheaper,
and
like in the suburbs and your exurbs. That's
and that's why they did that shit in California, because they know the people who were in urban, in the hoods or whatever, in urban cities, can't afford it anymore. So
they
have to go out to the suburbs. They have to. They have to go to the more rural spots. So they saying, y'all motherfuckers got to accept Section 8, because they're coming your way. They ain't slick. I see this shit. They ain't slick with it. All right. Here we go. Illinois. I got something for you. Illinois, as y'all know, just became maybe the 8th state to fully legalize marijuana recreationally and medically. Well, here's something that they did to go along with that. I'm going to play the clip real quick. Hopefully my stuff is still on. I'm going to play this clip real quick, and y'all can hear, we're going to listen to what it is that they did in out there in Chicago. Here we go. All right. I'm going to mute myself. Hold on.
Eve, New Year's Eve is also the eve of pot legalization in Illinois. Right now, Governor Pritzker here at the church, the Trinity United Church, officially granting thousands of pot pardons. Governor Pritzker, joined by local lawmakers and community leaders for what he calls a momentous announcement in the name of justice. The massive expungement, which will eventually clear the records of hundreds of thousands of Illinois residents. Today's first wave applies to more than 11,000 Illinois residents with misdemeanor cases, low-level pot convictions involving up to 30 grams. But state's attorneys throughout Illinois can also consider filings to vacate cases involving up to 500 grams of marijuana. The governor and supporters know that clean records will mean a new lease on life for thousands of people, especially in black and brown communities.
These 11,017 misdemeanor convictions represent individuals who have carried around with them a stain on their records for possessing less than 30 grams of cannabis. A stain that has very often prevented them from obtaining housing or jobs or benefits. Today, we lift the burden on the first 11,017 of those people.
We don't just want a free record and not employed. We want the record clean. This would be life-changing for people who have been literally had doors shut on them because of their background. Now those doors will be opened. Now we got to make sure that we have people that walk through the doors.
According to the governor's office, nearly 600,000 arrest records are eligible for expungements for low-level cases. It should happen automatically, though it may take up to a year or more for records to be cleaned. This event is ongoing. We expect to hear soon from people who will directly benefit from the announcement today by Governor Pritzker. That's the latest live on the South Side. Nancy Liu, WGN News.
All right, I got to hear your intake on, I got to hear your take on the expungement. If they're going to do at least 600,000 in the state of Illinois for less than 3 grams. And y'all know 3 grams is little or nothing. I can't believe people was actually being prosecuted for 33 grams of weed. That's sickening, I'm just saying. That's bullshit. Yeah, I do understand like a gram is like, that's like a nug. That's like a nugget. Like one,
okay.
That's like one nug. Maybe two.
Okay.
Nah, it's like a nugget, man. 33 grams ain't shit. Maybe two nuggets.
Okay.
I think that's the right thing to do. You don't have to agree with me on that one, but I think that's the right thing to do, especially when you legalize marijuana. I know some people say, hey, they did it when it was illegal, so it should stay. Now it's legal. Well, I say fuck that, erase it, and they need to do what the city of Oakland did. They didn't do this in every state, in every city in California, but what Oakland did, I thought that was the right thing to do, was anybody who ever been convicted, you cannot be disqualified from getting in the industry of pot sales. Marijuana, legal marijuana. You cannot be, you know, they can't say no because you got, you got caught with a pound. You can't call with a pound of weed. So and what they did was incentivize anybody who had ever been arrested to, they had a thing called an equity program that allowed people who hustled on the street, who sold weed for a living to literally turned it into an enterprise to learn how to go into business. You've been fucking with weed forever, so now you can go do weed legally because it's legal in the state. I think that's something Chicago should do. I mean, that allows people who are directly affected by marijuana sales to then become entrepreneurs. To me, that's what they did right with that law out here in Cali, and in particular in Oakland. They did right. Because you can't, you know, because what does that mean? Because if you don't do shit like that, that means the people who live in the community will not benefit from $100 billion industry. They won't be able to benefit. They can't get in the game. So who is gonna be able to come in with barrels of loads of money to benefit off this industry? I mean, it goes without saying. So be disproportionate to their advantage. But they say, fuck that. You want to set up in our city? This is what Oakland says. You want to set up in our city? Then you have to do levels of partnership with locals. You basically got to sponsor them. You want a manufacturing line? And I just tell you right now, nigga, my baby daddy is milking it. He's starting to, like, milk it because he has all the licensing. So anybody who wants to come from the outside and deal in the city of Oakland, which Oakland is Oaksterdam, it's like kind of like the capital, California capital of weed, he can get you to the front line. But what you got to do, you got to pay him. You got to pay him to jump everybody else because he already has the licensing because he did his work with the city. But I'm going to say, because I told him to get in place. Anybody who would remember those shows back in the day here on WGAG Radio, I was like, nigga, you smoke it, you're patient, make sure you talk to and get to know who you need to know to when the shit turns legal. Because if it's medical, it's going to go commercial. They just take their steps. And so I think that's what Illinois should do, to replicate that plan so a lot of Chicagoans, local Chicagoans, can become business owners in an industry that's going to boom, period. Because it's only a matter of time before it hits every single state. It's going to be legal across the nation, y'all. I think Georgia's up on deck. They're the next state that's going to legalize it. And they're, you know, if you want to call them a red conservative state, it don't matter. They're about to get that money. There's a lot of tax money caught up in that industry. And ain't no state going to miss out on it. Canada has already made it legally statewide. Nationwide, excuse me. Canada's killing it right now. So, America's catching up. I'm just saying, that's what they should do. What you got on it, Mr. Larry? Come on with it.
Well, I have no problem with expungement. It is limited, according to what I'm reading, for
right.
up to 30 grams. Anything over 30 grams, I guess you're looking at a felony, really. So that would have to be considered.
Right.
And if you have any concurrent charges, that does not have an effect on anything else that you were doing with those charges. No, I have no problem, you know, with expungement. I mean, if you know, with the demographic changes in a lot of these urban centers where, you know, a lot of these laws are being spearheaded, I can see why the logical thing would be expunged, because it's no longer just one demographic getting caught up with this weed stuff that's so pervasive. You
right.
have a wide demographic that's being caught up in these misdemeanors, you know, with the weed. And that's something that has to be addressed. You know, if it's legalized, then the laws have to be brought into accord with that. So I have no problem with expungement. I would not only would I invest in on the supply side, but I would also invest in like a outpatient rehabilitation center or some type of rehabilitation center, because see, this is going to lead to the same thing with alcohol. Even though when alcohol became legalized, you also had a correspondent rise in alcohol addiction. So that's going to rise. So if the marijuana usage, and it will eventually spread across all 50 states,
yeah.
And marijuana is a drug, because like all of the people that I know who are real weed smokers, fuck what you heard. They got to have that shit when they wake up at lunchtime and when they go to bed. And, I mean, it makes you sick.
There's
like,
levels
man,
to
damn,
it.
You smoking that shit like a New York. You smoking that shit like a Newport. Like, damn, how can you? I mean, I smoke the shit. I go to sleep. I don't know how you can smoke that all day for real. My whole day is ruined, man. But, you know, some people have a higher tolerance than others, but
yeah,
along
yeah.
with the supply side, I would invest in some type of rehabilitation counseling program, because to me, the more you're able to smoke it, is going to increase the addiction rate. So it's going to be money to be had there too. And on the IOP side, you get that good government money, because
I mean,
government
yeah.
ain't going to be able
I
to handle
about-
it. That,
yeah, I thought about the rehabilitation center. It just strictly from the opioid standpoint, because opioids is off the hook. So it's actually really
the same thing.
Yes,
the
business.
Same thing with the opioids. As we start putting it in pills, and
right.
you know they start distributing it through Percocet and other stuff, you had a correlation rise in the addiction, which then got this $1 billion.
Yeah, well, I was looking
at
what Zena said in the chat room.
But it's the
she
truth.
Said,
Zena know what I'm talking about. A real round water smoker got to have that shit. All time, I'm going to lunch. All
right.
right. We know what that means, you know. And it's serious, too,
right.
man. I done got cussed out a few times because people ain't had
right.
what they should have. You know, so I will look at investing on both of them. Really, right along with the opioid thing, I predict marijuana will be right up there on the list with the things that people will have to look
AA.
At.
You got AAs for alcoholics and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I guess. I mean, I used to be a pothead, especially after I stopped playing ball. Oh, yeah, I used to get high all the time. All the time. Here's something that I think that they need to institute, and I'm glad they are, and it's called the marijuana breath test. Breathalyzer test. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. I don't like nobody that gets behind the wheel impaired off of anything. I got real disdain for motherfuckers like that. I do not like it. It's to me, it's so irresponsible. So fucking irresponsible. I don't care how good you are at it, how long you think you've been doing. I don't fuck around, man. Yeah, when my sisters take me out, like, to dinner and shit, and I'll be like, y'all can't drink when we go out. You know, because most of the time I don't drive. I hop in the car with them, but they do that shit. You know, my youngest sister has had two DUIs. I'm like, baby, you got to stop that shit. That shit is not cool. That's not a cool thing. So I'm glad mm-hmm. they're going to have a marijuana breathalyzer test. Yeah. Some people say, oh, they just drive slow. Fuck that. Your reflexes are slow. You know?
So what is this marijuana breathalyzer? What's that?
Here, let me drop this in there for you so you can check it out, too. I think it's necessary, very necessary. I am in the category of nobody should be behind the wheel, impaired off of anything, a pill, drink, weed, anything. Said roadside breath test, which can detect whether drivers have smoked marijuana in the past 3 hours, may be available next year. Firms such as an Oakland-based, like I said, Oakland is the capital of Cali marijuana. I'm just letting y'all know, it's called Oaksterdam. Firms from Oakland-based Hound Labs and a Canadian company, Santec, are hoping to have working products ready for the latter half of 2020. Co-founder of Hound Labs, Mike Lynn, said that his company's test will show if someone has used marijuana within a three-hour window, which is when the strongest effects of the drug can be felt and driving is most impaired. He said, earlier this year, a AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety published the results of a survey which indicated that nearly 15 million Americans have driven a vehicle within an hour of smoking weed. They say marijuana, we call it weed, right? Or use cannabis products in 30 days prior to the survey. Okay, because I'm going to tell you now, and that goes to people who fuck with edibles. Edibles are hella strong. Edibles are stronger than smoke. Edible gets you super fucking high because it goes straight to your digestive tract. Anybody who ever had a brownie, anybody who ever had a gummy worm, cannabis gummy worm, understands what the fuck I'm talking about. You ingest it, it's like 10 times the high, you know. Really shouldn't be behind no wheel. Hey, Mr. Lowry.
Yeah, I agree that it's legal in a lot of places, and this is where the states will want to go, then a mechanism has to put in place the same as with alcohol. You know what I mean? Because you have breathalyzers. You can tell by levels. I tried to bring legislation in D.C., and I may bring it back up because I'm going to need it. Whereas D.C. government workers who live in it's legal to have marijuana and smoke it in D.C. But mm-hmm. if your job requires a urinalysis, you can be fired for having marijuana in your system. Now, just because marijuana is in your system does not necessarily indicate that you are high, you know, because it stays in your system for a long time. And that's a fast-moving high. An hour outside of smoking a joint, you need another one. So we're trying to figure out a way, and this is right up on it, where you can take a test that will determine whether or not you just smoked a joint or you have not smoked a joint. Within the, it should be by levels. If you got so much levels in your system at this particular time, the same way they do alcohol, you can get pulled over and have alcohol, but unless you're over that threshold, you're okay. Now, the same thing, with marijuana, there's just not a lot out there. Everything has been geared towards alcohol, but I don't see a lot of studies that correlate accident and impairment as it relates to marijuana.
Yeah.
So we don't know how prevalent it is, but marijuana,
I've been in a lot of cars
different,
with a lot of weed smokers. I mean, God, we used to hotbox in cars and drive. That's when I was young.
Okay.
I didn't know no difference. Didn't know no better.
Okay.
And shit like that. I just ain't with it. I'm not with any type of impairment behind a wheel. You're talking about a two-ton machine called a car.
But
and
see,
that shit ain't
this
to be
is going
with.
To what I'm talking about. See, the state is on it, too. This is going to what I'm talking about. If the proposition is that weed is legal, fine. But then everything that's wrapping around weed now becomes a fair game for profitability. So it's not an issue of whether or not impairment of weed caused you to get an accident. The real issue is if you're impaired of weed and I catch you, can I tax you? You know, like
if I
get
caught
with the alcohol,
I
get it. Yeah, I got to go to ticket.
Yeah,
they make you go to classes. It goes beyond
that.
You pay for those classes.
All that shit.
You got to pay for a whole year. Family counseling. You got
to
pay for all of that shit. Yeah.
Right. Then they gonna make a video to show what happens when you're high in the car. Remember that old school shit was called.
And you
got
to pay to view the video.
Yeah.
You got to pay for all of that stuff. That's why I was saying IOP. That centers on marijuana usage is going to be hugely profitable, because where does the court send all these people? They send them to treatment or something. That's the only way your ass going to stay out of jail. You got to be like,
right,
I got a goddamn
problem.
You
got to go to treatment. You
got to
go to yes,
jail.
Yes.
Jail,
right there,
I got a problem. I got to go to jail for getting high.
Weed. Yes.
I can't
and I
stop,
can't get behind the wheel. Right. Well, we got something for you. That's true. That's good shit right there.
So I'm not looking at the right or wrong. We already know this is where it's going to go. It's going to become a whole cottage. You remember how alcohol was not the deal. If they caught you, fine. Now, oh, my God, you get caught with alcohol, man, that's a $100 a month proposition. That's not even on. That's on top of the lawyer that they make you pay, and then they give you three different hearings for one hearing, so you got to pay for all three different hearings. Then they make you go to alcohol education class at $75 a pop once a week, and if you can't afford that, that's fine. Your ass going to jail. Now, how are we going to do this?
Right.
So, yeah, I got to look that up. That would be a great investment. That company.
It sure would.
I saved that link.
See?
That would be a great
investment. You got that business mind working. That's what I'm talking about.
That would be a great investment.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, it would.
See, that's how everybody should be thinking when it comes to laws. How can
there's
going to be some kind of industry within this law? This new law that they dropped.
Because,
drive,
see, in politics, half of these laws, some of these laws are to promote business. You see what I'm saying? And then once they promote the business, they make more laws to monopolize the business. So once they get the business established, they come on the back end to monopolize the business. Like there's going to be, if people don't get in the marijuana dispensary thing, it's going to be just like the liquor stores was. Like when you look at the liquor stores now, they're highly monopolized now. It's hard to get a liquor store. but I can imagine when prohibition was repealed, it was wide open game, you know, because the laws were such that it made it wide open. But then those laws come right behind it to close the deal. But marijuana breath testing, I like that one, man. That's a good business investment. That's a good business.
That person that's created that, see, who created that test, boy, they gonna do it all right. If they make it right, if they do it right, without a lot of blunders, they done created a $1 billion product that everybody's going to
need. Yeah, think of 100 things.
State to state.
That marijuana affects. Just think of 100 things. And if we can agree that marijuana usage will increase with legalization as it spread, then the money is on the wraparound things that we will create.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There was going to be a need inside of that industry on many, many levels. Okay?
Yes.
This is what I'm talking about. Get your entrepreneurial hats on, people, because it's gonna spread throughout every state. Come on, man. When conservative states, like, you know, red states start doing this shit, like Georgia and Mississippi, and they start doing it, oh, man, it's a domino effect. I mean, it's already happening.
Oh, you best believe these organizations that have an effective means of dealing with the opioids, which is nothing but heroin, those entities that have an effective program with dealing with that stuff, they're making money hand over foot right now. They're getting referrals from courts. They're getting referrals from hospitals. They're getting this grant money thrown at them.
Yeah.
They're getting private referrals. Because it's an issue. I mean, we can't say it's not an issue. It's an issue. So the same thing with marijuana. The same thing.
Yep. It is. But I do like this test, though, because it's necessary. I'm just saying for real. I'm not with the
Why you think it's necessary? Do you think being high off of marijuana causes traffic fatalities? Is that what you're saying?
It's very possible. Yeah. Because I think anything that impairs your motor skills has the ability to, tragedy can happen. It's just a fact. And it only takes a split second for it to all go wrong. And it don't take two to tango in a car. It only takes one. And you should not be high. You should not be impaired. I think it's just grossly irresponsible. Are you laughing? I'm serious.
I like the way you phrase that. It's grossly irresponsible.
It is. To get behind the wheel when you are impaired.
Dana's giving us hell here. Yeah.
Shit,
I mean,
it just is, goddamn.
You're endangering others.
Mm-hmm. Did it impair your motor skills? Nigga, I knew I was slow. I tell you, I know I slowed down. I tell you that. I played a basketball game high one time in my life. One time. No, I did it one time in a game and went to practice high. I played when I was at softball practice. Bitch, do you know how many grounders I took off my shin? That hurt. Yeah. Because my motor skills were slow. I played a game on my birthday. Davey got me high. He was playing at the school called Carondelet. I will never forget it. It was on my birthday. I played the entire game in slow motion. Slow motion. I went for 20, though.
Damn.
I had 20 points. I had 20 points. But that game was played in slow motion. I knew I was not, and I could have been moving. I mean, if I had it on, if I looked at the video, I probably was moving regularly. But internally, everything was slowed down. Like,
you paranoid. Yeah.
I mean, for real. Yeah.
So it wasn't a good experience for you.
No, it wasn't. It was not a good, and I never did it again. Never did it again.
Okay.
And I never went to practice high again. I like the way it made me feel. And what you talking about, I didn't get hurt? Bitch, my shins was hurting. Do you understand what it means to take a grounder off your a ball, a ground ball off of your shin?
And miss the glove and hit your leg.
And miss the glove and hit your fucking shin coming off of a bat?
Ouch.
It hurts. Bruise my shins.
Next topic.
Before practice, and my legs was wobbly.
Well,
well, I suggest
what did you learn?
You never do. You was impaired, bitch. That was irresponsible.
Yeah.
That was grossly irresponsible.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Grossly irresponsible. If you know, that's the. If it does it to you, you know it does it to many others. I ain't tripping. People who get high should not be behind the wheel. It's just, I mean, I don't even know why this is even up for debate. I really don't. You know, I mean, you know what the fuck weed, what smoke do to you. What the fuck wrong with y'all? Come on now. This is not up for, this should not be up for debate. This is real, this is
but
real
you should
shit.
Not
this is real
be
life.
Bombed and driving.
No. No. I mean, that shit we did as children, and that shit was wrong. That shit was out of pocket. I was surprised. I don't even know why we didn't all get arrested. I got pulled over many years ago coming from a basketball game. It was me, a teammate, my teammate Antoinette, and my baby daddy was driving. But I was smoking in the car coming from a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And the California State Highway Patrol pulled us over, some chips pulled us over. And because that shit was loud, you know. And, I was just surprised I didn't go to jail. I just kept saying. What did I say? I said, because they knew I was smoking, because he wasn't smoking, it was me. I said, I just came from a game. I said, I just got finished playing a basketball game. Like, you know, like I needed to calm my nerves. And I think he kind of laughed under his breath, and we weren't even cited. I didn't even get no citation or nothing. But that's the point is that we just should not be doing shit like that. If you're going to get high, sit your ass at home and get high. Sit your ass at home. You should not get behind the wheel. Simple. If your ass is drinking, get a fucking Uber. You should not be driving. I get on my younger sister all the time, man. You know, she had to pay a lot of money for that shit, for them DUIs, thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, her license suspended, which affected her work, her ability to work, and shit like that. Yeah. It's just, you don't do that. You don't put yourself and others in danger because of your recreational things you like to do. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about alcohol, but, I mean, you know what getting high does. I mean, you know what it does, right? You do know that. You know the state of, the meditative state and the relaxation state that it puts you in. We do know. Come on now. Why are we acting brand new on the weed? I mean, so, you know, my first joint I smoked, I was 13. I know what it did to me then. I know what it did to me in my 20s. And in my 30s until I stopped when I was 33.
But really, what I'm saying is, it's not an issue of whether or not you smoke it. What I'm saying is, if you're in a jurisdiction where weed is legal, and we see these people are moving towards a method where they can test it, you know, like alcohol breathalyzers, that's telling me down the line, that's an infraction that's going to be put on the books, point blank. It ain't no getting around that. So if that's where it's going, common sense, the business mind will say, all right, what's on the other side of that? You know, how can I, you know, make a business out of it? If people are going to smoke it, I'm going to make the business going to help them. And everything will be all right. You got the people to sell it, just like alcohol. It's legal. You could drink it all you want to. But as in life, you know, anything that's good can become bad real fucking fast. And if there's a and increased uses, the chances are there will be those who, you know, go beyond, you know, they cross the line. And if they cross the line, there's a profitable venture there to help those who cross the line. That's all I'm saying. Because if they're talking about breathalyzing marijuana, that's leading to the same thing as alcohol breathalyzer. It ain't no air in that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's just
I'm saying this.
Reality.
My thing is this. I think as someone who is an insider to this industry and understanding the new shit that they got out here, is y'all familiar with sugars? Is y'all familiar with sugars?
No.
Well, motherfuckers, dad.
No.
Are you familiar with it? Oh, my God. It's a high concentration of THC that is put into like a crystallized, like honey, right? And it's called sugar. And you put that shit in the do y'all know the fucking THC content of shit like that? It's out of this fucking roof. It's out of this world. And you put it in the fucking dab that's way different than a fucking bong or even a water bong or any of that shit. You put that in a dab, you get retarded high. I'm just sorry. You get stupid. You get retarded fucking high. If y'all don't know about that kind of shit, then I'm sorry. Y'all disqualified from this debate. If you ain't up on how high people get off of that shit, off of that product. Anybody who fucks with sugars and dabbing should not be behind the wheel. And I'm saying if you ingest it, if you ever had a brownie or a cookie, then you know what I'm talking about. One little piece of a corner of a cookie got 10 grams of THC content. It's not the same as smoking. People who ain't never had a fucking cookie fuck around and eat a whole cookie and fucking end up in the emergency room because they flipping out because they're so fucking high. And this is just off of cannabis butter that you make the cookies with. See, I'm well qualified to talk about this shit. I mean, I've used these products in the past, and I understand them well. I know vendors. Come on, man, I know the motherfucker personally who created Granddaddy Purple that everybody likes to fucking talk about. Granddaddy Purple. I know the nigga. Name is Ken Estes, who make these hybrids weed. So I talk about the high concentration of marijuana, the chain. It's just off the chain, y'all. I'm sorry. These new products that they got out here, it ain't just hitting some fucking cookies or some shit or so. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just hitting purple. It's not the same. You know what I'm saying? It's not like when we used to do it. That's what I'm saying. It is not the same. You know, we used to, you know, hit that fucking you know what I'm saying? Hit that, or we used to, this weed was called, a brand called Oracle. What was one of my favorite back in the day. We sit that Oracle, be gone on the couch. Gone! You can't get behind your wheel off of that shit. That shit called couch lock. It's called couch lock for a reason. You understand me? Couch lock.
You can't get behind
it. You're not going to operate. You should not be operating a vehicle. Oh, that's all I'm saying. This shit is, like, this shit they got out here is THC content is, not of years past. It is another bad creation. Not bad.
Oh,
shit. Not good. But I mean bad as off the chain. Super duper high. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Man, they're making concentrate up to 90% over and beyond.
Exactly. Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
So the regular weed is somewhere
near. Go ahead, look up sugars and go look up dabs.
I'm looking at dabs now. Hell yeah, they're saying that regular weed, like if you're just a regular Joe Blow, bought your dime bag, that concentration is somewhere near 15%. That's getting you high.
Yes,
15-20. Say you got some loud. Let's say 25%. Yeah. So even with some good, 25%, 30 if it's good, if you're lucky.
Well,
these people
naturally.
Are talking. Yeah. These people talking 90%. God damn. Yeah, very high.
Come on,
no, you can't drive.
No, you can't. You cannot.
You can't drive.
I'll put it like this, Zena. If people wasn't fucking up behind the wheel off weed in the past, they're going to be fucking up off this shit that they got out here. How about that? How about this is a preventative law? I'll give you that. How about this is preventative for the shit that they got out there today? The shit they got out there today is seriously off the chain. It really is, I'm just saying. I ain't going to keep beating the dead horse on that one, but it is. They say this is not your granddaddy's weed. This is not our, this is not even our generation's weed. It's just not. This shit is real scientific, man. Let y'all see the machines and shit that make these this product. You'll be like, yeah, this is just not the plant. This is some other. This is in the lab type shit. They are in the lab making, creating these super, get you super high products. All right? That's what they're doing.
I see what you're saying. So they're genetically manipulating this stuff right here.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
That's
exactly. I mean, you know, the transformation of the the concentration and all that. So there you have it, man. That's all I'm saying.
So they're moving the knock. The cannabis crew, the cannabis crew, is moving to push the synthetic crew out of business by using that same synthetic method on THC itself. Meaning that they can just add. So you can add all types of chemicals and processes to THC to exacerbate. That's what dab is, really. Damn. And it's legal.
Didn't even know it was out there like that, did you know that was out there like that?
No. I was totally out the loop on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, yeah, they do. You have it, that's why it is. That's why it's highly regulated, even to so much to extent right now in the state of California that it hinders business. But I understand why they're doing it, because it's a lot. It's a lot. A lot of products that have been made that are coming out of it. So they have to be heavily regulated at for this time, for the early stages of its being legal. Okay, Zena says, American Journal of Public Health found no statistical difference in crash death rates 3 years after legalization. They laced cigarettes, too. They laced cigarettes with what? Like I said, they're making, the creations that they're making out of THC, to give you 90 and 110% of THC.
Okay.
That is not natural. Yeah. It's not a natural thing, Zena. That's what I'm saying. It's not a natural. We know cigarettes are chemically altered from the tobacco plant, right? We know that. We know that they dry it out. They put all that shit in it. This we know, right? But I'm saying with dabs and infusions,
this
all right,
is dabs because of the increased potency of the concentrate itself, higher THC percentage than the flower. It can make people exceptionally high to the point that some recreational users will become uncomfortable. That's what you just said now.
Exactly.
Said you take this shit right here, you fucking way too high to be driving.
You gone.
You can't drive.
You gone.
You gone.
You are fucking gone. You are gone. Okay? Period.
Like, you can't move until this shit comes down.
You sure don't need to be behind the wheel. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Come on. Primos? Zena, you talk about apples to oranges. Nigga, Primos is fucking heroin inside of a fucking cigarette.
What?
Primo is laced like coke heroin, like heroin laced cigarettes.
Okay.
Primos is not the same.
Okay.
That's not the same, man.
Okay.
is not a lace. It's not even a lace. I'm saying it's a high concentration. It's an abnormal high concentration. And anybody who smoked a fucking Primo, they sure was went behind. They shouldn't have been behind no car either. They were fucked up.
They were not now.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now. If you don't understand the levels of concentration of THC in sugars, then I can't explain it any more. So you're not smoking regular. You're not smoking the plant. That's all I'm saying. And so, to me,
wow,
when you have these type of creations, right, that there has to be safeguards against this new shit that's out here. It has to be safeguards. You still have to think about fucking society.
Well, I mean, me too.
Like I said, I indulged for 20 plus years too. God damn it. Like I said, I've been smoking since I was 13 years old. I took my first hit. So I'm not saying you ain't qualified, but I'm saying for the shit that they got today, there needs to be public safeguards against the shit that they've been created out of a newly legalized industry, because it's not the same. It just isn't. This is the actualities of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you was responsible. Did you jump behind the car? If the cigarettes had you fucked up, did you go drive? If you did, I would say you were irresponsible. You said no, you didn't. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
Right.
That's my point.
You're not saying a yes or no to doing it. What you're saying is if you're doing it, you should not be behind a wheel.
Right.
Is
that
what you're saying?
You have to have some public. Right, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying who came from, but I'm saying there has to be some public safety going on here. You still have
because
to.
You can't do dabs and drive and expect
right.
to be all
it's
right.
It's just like drinking. You can't be .08 when you drive. You're drinking and driving. You can't be above a certain percentage. Alcohol is legal. So my point is, with this new shit that they got here that's going to get you extremely high, your average high of concentration of any of the top shelf weeds. Okay?
So
I'm talking about top shelf
Primo
shit.
Here,
not that shit that they be smoking in New York and all that fucking garbage that motherfuckers be smoking in Chicago and shit. I'm talking about Primo top shelf shit. It's
So behind the banner of legal marijuana, there's a whole class of drugs that need to be given consideration that's related to marijuana, like
that's
the dabs, like the sugar. Like on the banner, we're thinking of just rolling up and smoking.
Right.
But that's
right.
A small percentage of what we're technically going to be
what's
dealing
out there.
With.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're not just going to be dealing with fucking just weed smokers.
Your grandfather's weed. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm looking at this dab and
these
sugars. This is some serious shit. And it's a little bit,
like I'm saying, look it up
like
if you think I'm lying.
Lot.
That's all I'm saying. Look the shit up and go look at the people who smoke this shit and look how they act. And look what it does to them. You tell me if the people you see should be behind the wheel. That's my point.
Okay.
I rest my case, Your Honor. Thank you, Zena, for participating like that. I appreciate that. It makes for a great conversation. Hell yeah. They on pharmaceuticals, too. Oh, you talking about those individuals on pharmaceuticals? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. They may pop pills. You know, most people who drink do a little bit of both. They do a little bit of pill popping and drinking. Aren't they what they call it? Perk Xannies with drink. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But, because to me, only a person who fuck with them pills be one who wants to get that fucking high. Like, I don't want to get that fucking high.
You say you get
I don't
want to
be out of it like
that.
I don't get it.
Right. Steve, you wanted to say too high, too high.
So
man,
high.
I
want
to touch the
I don't
ground.
Get that out.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Mm-mm. So, but that's that. But I'm glad they got the test coming. And like I said, you motherfuckers get in place. Because there's going to be a lot of industries or a lot of niches inside of an industry
yes.
that you can capitalize on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right? Yes. Shit. You worried about people getting high, create something that'll bring them down real fast. I don't know. Shit. Create a weed pill. Remember they had the pill for people who get hangovers and shit? Create the super high pill. You get, you know, you come down safer. I don't know. Shit. But you get it, you know. So that's what I'm saying. That's good shit. There it is. It said it says. Let me finish this off. It says however, detecting the substance is far more difficult than identifying alcohol. With Lynn describing the science as amazingly challenging. This is because the quantity of the psychoactive compound is in the body is tiny, hundreds of millions of times lower than that of alcohol flowing through your blood through your body from someone who is drunk. They said we have completely created the device. It said I like looking for a certain 25 grains of sand on a beach a mile long. The developers of the new device say that their testers will fill a gap in the market as marijuana is increasingly legalized for medicinal and recreational use across the country. Currently, police forces must go through a time-consuming and extensive process to determine whether a driver is under the influence of marijuana. Forces often rely on drug recognition officers, DROs, who have a specialty trained to spot the types of impairment caused by different types of drugs. So that's for your pill poppers, right? Your E-heads, your Xannies and your Perks and all that stuff. They bring these people in because they be like, the regular cop be like, I don't know what the fuck they on. Can you get that back up? Can we get that DRO down here? Because these motherfuckers is tripping. And I don't know what it is. We don't want to let them go. So it said, if a DRO suspects that a motorist is under the influence of marijuana, the driver is taken to the hospital for blood tests, which will identify if the drug is in their system, which we know is going there because it takes, 3 months to get weed out your system. So DROs often have to spend a significant amount of time in court where they provide expert testimony. So the new devices have the potential to streamline this process. The company says cutting down on costs and police time. Furthermore, the field tests will make it easier to convict those who have driven under the influence of marijuana while also helping defense attorneys provide their clients with innocence in cases where the suspect hadn't used the drug before getting behind the wheel. You know, I just think whatever you indulge in, you need to be responsible about it, period.
Agreed.
Mm.
Agreed.
That's all I'm fucking saying, man. Be fucking responsible. But I'm telling you, Zena said, you know, weed has never been the cause of a motherfucking death. I'm saying, it's today's fucking product. You have to be fucking responsible, man. And you have to have a safeguard for people who are irresponsible. That is my point.
I hear what you're saying, Zena. I've heard a very few people smoking a joint of weed and then, you know, doing some crazy shit. I haven't heard. Mm-hmm. They may not. I haven't heard many. But what Neff is describing to us is not the weed. What she is saying is this THC legalization now has made legal certain products that's a THC concentrate that has damn near 100 times the potency of what we're describing as weed, that has a definite imperable effect on the user. So what she's saying is you cannot dab. There ain't no fucking way you gonna be able to dab and then get behind a car. That's not going to happen because you're going to be out of it. Is that what you're saying now? That's what I'm hearing.
That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
No, because I'm looking at her statement. She said weed has never been the cause of let's keep it real, motherfucking deaths.
Motherfuckers.
And I'm saying...
Right.
I haven't heard weed being the cause.
I don't know. And I do know that.
Right.
And I do know that. I haven't heard anybody just get not, unless it was laced with something. You know what I'm saying? But as far as your everyday weed people don't die behind no shit like that, anything about like that. But I'm talking about.
I have heard weed cause serious mood swings. I heard that. If you stop smoking weed, your mood is fucked up. But. Other than that, I'm hearing you talking beyond weed. You're talking about these THC concentrations that
I'm
weed compliant because it's one THC. It's all the same. But actually
what I
took was a dab or a sugar. And that shit has you too high to be driving. And we need to consider that.
That's it. You have to take it into consideration for the safety of the public. That's all I'm saying. So something of this nature is going to be necessary. With the creation of an industry and you have these new level of products, you have to change with the industry. You can't, you know what I'm saying? The statistics of yesteryear don't apply for the new product and the new industry that it is today. So there has to be that symbiotic change as they create these different types of products. That's what I'm saying. But it is not the same.
So after a while, you're going to have people going into the vape store, buying vapes, getting the juice, with goddamn 200% potent THC and vaping it.
Yeah. Well, depending on what they smoking.
Yeah, that could
I can give you a cookie. I can sell you a cookie with 40 grams of THC in it. But understand, how small is a cookie? Your average cookie is very small, so do you understand how highly concentrated that little cookie is?
That's a lot of power into a little
cookie. Now, people have gone to the hospital. This is on record. People have gone to the hospital behind eating an entire cookie because they don't understand how strong it is and understand that they're only supposed to be eating tiny pieces of that shit. In a period of time, you're not supposed to eat a cookie in a sitting. People have had almost psychotic episodes, like, oh my God, my heart beating, oh my God, and shortness of breath and shit. This is real. So, you know, and that's just from them not understanding the type of product that's out here. You know, and not taking it properly. So, again, you have to put safeguards in society for this type of shit.
Okay.
Yeah, man. It's the Wild Wild West when it comes to this shit right here. Because it's new. It's new.
So we are on uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Somebody know what this is, yeah.
See, I can't tell Zena to go get some sugar and dab and then holler back at me and tell me how it was because she don't smoke no more. Who's willing to be a test dummy? Anybody here who's in a legalized state or if you got a medical card, anybody willing to do some sugar and report back to the show? how loaded, how gone, how zooted they was?
Wow.
Anybody?
Yeah,
first one? You going to do it, Mr. Larry? You going to be our guinea pig?
Hell no. I'm too old for that shit. My experimental days are over. Yeah, you're right. Now, what you're saying is what I'm reading it is saying that we don't know all the risks of this stuff because there ain't enough research been done. But what they do know, that when you do dabbing, which is THC, we're not talking about weed, we're talking about this shit that they're doing now, you got a high risk of falls, accidents, injuries, and loss of consciousness, as well as psychotic and schizophrenic episodes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you be high as all can get out doing that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Falls, accidents, and loss of consciousness.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pass out. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, okay. Some light want to get that high, but you get it. So what I'm hearing is that the government got some potent BS passed. It ain't no, it's not government at all. These are individual manufacturers. Mm-hmm. This is not no government at all. No. These are manufacturers, business people.
Say all of this stuff was known while they was pushing for legalization, but was never, know how, we always need a banner issue. I can say weed was the banner issue, but this stuff right here, this issue
right, anybody knows,
is a serious issue.
Right, anybody knows if you're going to have an industry that there's going to be spin-off, there's going to be variation. That's called industry diversification. So it ain't going to just be, only thing you're smoking is weed. No, you got infused drinks, okay? So you got your liquids infused with cannabis. You got your edibles, right? Your edibles infused with cannabis. And then you have the different formations of THC, which dab is one of them, called sugars. Okay?
Hmm.
That's why now.
And they sell this stuff. And so is it legal to sell this stuff?
Yes.
So if you go into a store that I guess is licensed to sell THC products, this is one of the products they can legally sell.
Yes.
Damn.
The company that I got ownership in sells sugars. It's on our website.
Damn.
You can go buy it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Amongst many other things, tinctures, which is that you put in your body, for arthritis and anything else, It ain't far from it, but yeah, it gets you extremely fucking high. But yeah, anybody had to know it was coming. But it is legal. It's just it's just so many different forms. We used to call it back in the day, right? We used to call it Keith. Right, they got a mm-hmm. form of THC called Keef, which is nothing but the THC crystals that you literally put into this thing called bubulator, and you take the leaves and you put it in this bubulator, and it creates this thing that looks like resin, which is resin. It's a resin that mm-hmm. looks like if anybody know what old school heroin was look like, it looked like black tar. But mm-hmm. it's in the weed world, it's called Keef. No, Keef is powder. I take that back. But a bubulator creates a block of THC based off of the weed. So that way you use your entire plant. Not only do you get the buds, but you have a use for the leaves, and they created, you know, this machine that was off the chain. But then from that, you had this thing called kief, and that was like powdered marijuana. See, there's just so many things. There's so many variations of it. So, again, with the variations, you have to be prepared to deal with the public who are going to be offered all these different types of variations.
So this is just it's going back to what Zane is saying, because I remember in the 80s when crack first hit, they couldn't do anything because they didn't know what it was. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't until the late 80s that you started seeing the increase in incarceration because they was able to catch up with it and to regulate it. But maybe from 80 to 83, the authorities didn't. So if they caught you, they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know if they were supposed to lock you up for it or not, because nobody knew what crack was. You see what I'm saying? So they had to regulate it. And that's when the regulations caught up and people started getting locked up. In that regard, I agree with Zena, because we have the same case here. We got all of these byproducts of THC floating around, and we all know the public health implications.
But the difference is that this is all legal, though. Crack wasn't legal. You know what I'm saying? These are legal in states
right now.
In a minute, the Senate has already put a bill to declassify. They got a bill on the Senate floor that they're looking to declassify marijuana as a Schedule A drug, to take it off of there.
This reminds me of that book by Aldous Huxley, A Brave New World, where everybody, they was trying to make this perfect utopian world. And in order to get people to comply, they gave them a soma pill. So everybody had to take their soma pill every day. You know, because it leveled them off, and it was easier for the administrators to administrate this utopian world because everybody was on the soma pill. It made you feel good. This is what this shit reminds me of, A Brave New World. It's a classic book, actually.
Wow. Okay. I've heard of it.
But that's what this That's on the line of 1984, Animal Farm, those type of classics. Brave New World.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
World was like a granddaddy of it. Mm-hmm. Huxley.
Got it.
Great. It's an easy reading book, but that's what this shit reminds me of. Like, everybody just goes take a dab, and you'll be fucking fine. Don't worry about everything else. We got it under control. We got everything else under control.
That's where the Migos got the shit. Now, I took me so long to catch up why them little niggas would be going, dab. Because in the motion is them coughing between putting their hand between their forearm and their bicep, because they doing this. That's where fucking dab come from. That's why the dance is dab. I figured it took me a long time to actually put two together about that shit.
You know, do they
you know,
have
do
all this shit
in
the Netherlands now?
Man.
Do they have it in the... Okay, that's a good question. I don't know.
Do they have all this shit in the Netherlands? Oh, I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know, but I know what they got today. I know what my company carries. Mm-hmm. What you mean, Wellhurst then? Bullshit. I know what they got on the market right now in the good old U.S. of A. I don't know what the fuck they're doing in Europe, but I know what they're doing here, creating right here. I know what's for sale right here. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, they've been smoking, but I don't know if they if they had that level of innovation. That's what I don't know. There's one thing American can do is innovate and create.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the motherfuckers get into these labs and get to working. Like I said, I know a creator. I know a dude who makes top line fucking strains. I know two of them. Ed Rosenthal is another. I met these dudes back in the day when in 1997 when that shit became medicinally legal out here. And all the big people, all the big names was coming to the town. We was one of some of the first people to get medicinal licenses. So they would have a co-op, and at this co-op, everybody would come, hang out, talk about the industry, what was coming. Come on, man. We know the dude who went to Congress to get this shit passed, the doctor who got this shit passed, Dr. Macaria. You see what I'm saying? And so only thing I'm saying is that these motherfuckers in the lab creating some off-the-chain shit. They're playing with it. It's all games for them. They're like, what can we fucking create? Ooh, what can we? If I mix this with that, then we create this. This is a new product. Oh, shit, let's sell it. The people get so high. That's all I'm saying. But, yeah, that's what that is. I didn't even get to get into the – I didn't even get to my part where I was going to talk about what everybody – what every Negro's favorite president said, Barack Obama, when he said women – he said, I'm absolutely confident that for 2 years, if every nation on earth was run by a woman, by women, we would see a significant improvement across the board. And just about everything. I happen to agree with Barack Obama. She said women undoubtedly are better leaders. I just happen to agree with that. Especially when you're not under the influence of men. If you're purely a woman, your intuition, your instincts, your natural nurturing and caring is going to shape the decisions that you make, because you're going to be thinking about really all, everybody. We do that naturally. We have been corrupted and polluted and shit like that by man. I just had to say that. Case in point, Finland. Finland just made their prime minister a 34-year-old woman, the youngest ever. Youngest prime minister, I believe, ever elected into office. Her cabinet, I'm about to give it to you. Her cabinet, is majority women. Let me pull it up. All right. Here it is. It says, Finland's new government is young and led by women. Here's what the country does to promote diversity. I don't want to hear about the reason, but he says the new prime minister age is notable. 34-year-old, she is the youngest prime minister in the world. She joined the recently elected prime ministers of New Zealand, Salvador, and Ukraine for the under 40 group. So then there has been the focus of gender. The new female prime minister's coalition government is formed with all five party leaders being women. So we're going to keep our eye. I'm going to keep my eye on Finland. See what kind of moves they make. What they do. Okay? Just to see. Was in Tombow.
Man, Barack full of shit. Why did he say that when he was running against Hillary Clinton? Did he say Hillary is better qualified than me because Hillary is a woman? He didn't say that then.
Hell no.
You know? So I'm trying to figure out what's his angle. Now, I mean, I have no problem with good leadership, period. Because anybody can be corrupted. That's how we got fucked in the black community, because we gave black skin a pass. And more times than not, it was a black person screwing us over. So by giving a blanket pass can be a dangerous thing for anybody, regardless. But, you know, I like women. I had a staff full of women. One, because, you know, men to me are weak-kneed, and you know, they'll turn around and try to knock me off before they help a particular cause. That's the disadvantage of working with men. But Barack full of shit. He ain't say that about Hillary Clinton.
No.
When he ran against her, he said she was unfit.
Right. Tina just said her brother just got back from Kenya. He said she said it's ran by women. He said their economy is doing very well. The women handling business in Kenya. She said my brother just got back from there, and he was telling me about how the women run it. He said that they got rid of all that corruption and is distributing the money right and not stealing it like the men do. Right, he said that they are doing right with the money. They're doing right with the money. And, I mean, because, again, it's kind of our nature to fucking care about others. So we're going to do this shit right. I'm just saying, man, men have been running this shit for a long time. We see where the fucking state of the world is today. I'm sorry. Okay.
As I said, I'm for, you know, good leadership. If it's a woman that's able to give greater accountability and a more efficient process, then I'm all for it. What I'm not going to do is say a woman just for the sake that she's a woman, because you have some very treacherous women out there, you know, who, you know, use their womanhood in order to get their treachery over. So it's good to hear what's going on in Kenya, but, you know, I'm going to stand behind anybody who has a good program and
I'm going to watch what they're doing in Finland. I want to see how they fare. A female prime minister and all five party leaders are all women. I want to see this shit. Come on now.
Yeah.
That ain't never been done. I don't think there's a country that could say that. All major parties led by a woman,
yeah,
and the prime minister is a woman. So that's like saying, you know, that's saying the president, vice president, secretary of state, the head of the Democratic Party and the head of the Republican Party are all women.
Right.
That's equivalent. So we'll see. I want to see what happens there. It's going to be interesting. But a lot of people who love Barack got on his ass for that statement. They got on his ass for that statement. But, truth is truth. We are better leaders.
Barack is pandering
for
both.
Time for a lot of people to turn over the motherfucking reins. It's our time, Mr. Larry. I'm sorry. It's time
for us to take over.
Hey, we out of here, man. It was a great show. Thank you, Mr. Lowry.
Yes.
You're getting ready to cut us off. Next Wednesday, we do it again. Y'all be good. Don Nicolion Show, the new day. You know what it is. Be safe, y'all. Love you.